Today's daf, Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Nun Dalet. And we've been learning over here some amazing things about the Derech of Torah and the Derech of Limud HaTorah, the meaning of clarity of language and of the way in which you articulate your Torah and so on. So we're continuing today. The last thing we had yesterday was meeting up with Bruria. Bad news. If you see Bruria coming, better run the other way. The last thing we had was that she, I think we did, yeah? Maybe not. Maybe the last thing we had was the Galilili. No, I think we got up to, yeah.
We're up to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi.
Are you sure?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, Rabbi, definitely.
Yes.
Chazor is always good.
I see. Okay, that's great. Yes, you're right. I do remember learning that. All right, so let's start this again then. All right. Okay, so today's daf is daf Nadalid, and we're holding all the way down by Omer Yeshua ben Levi, HaMahaleich Baderech. So we're continuing on with the understanding of the Chashivas of Torah, the difference that it makes to you and how it is that you should be Isaac in it. So somebody who's going along the road, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he doesn't have anyone to go with him. And we know the tremendous inyan of having a malaveh, and that is shomer on an individual who's on the road alone. He can make himself a malaveh every time, because Yasuk b'Torah, shenemar ki liviatchei nehem l'roshecha. These divrei Torah are like a beautiful levaya that you've got an escort along with you. And if, continues that we see for the continuation of Pasuk, chash b'rosho, if you've got a headache, best thing to do, learn Torah. Forget about aspirin. It says, leviat chineim l'roshecha. They're actually very beautiful accompaniment for your head. And then, if you've got problems in your throat, chash b'grono, you got a sore throat, yasok b'torah, shenemar v'anakim l'gargarotecha. They're like necklaces for your throat. Chash b'meyav, yasok b'torah. You got stomach problems. It says, rif'ut tehi l'sharecha, so that these things will be a cure for your abdomen. Chash b'atzmotav, you got some arthritis. B'yasek b'torah, shenema v'shikui l'atzmotecha. This is like new marrow for your bones. Chash b'chol gufo, you've got your entire body is aching. Chayasek b'norash, and I'm going to chol b'saro marpe. It's for your entire body. It's a way in which you will find a cure. Speaking about that, b'chol b'saro, Amr Rav Yehuda b'Rabbi Chiya, bo re'eh shaloki midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'dam. Because normally, when you have a doctor who's basar v'dam, so if he's got something that could cure you from one thing, it's usually going to have side effects that are not good for another thing. You want to avoid those side effects. So Adam notin sam l'chaviro. So first of all, I mean, it's only good for the particular thing that's bothering you right now. You can't use it for something else. And you take some heart medication for a kidney disease, it's not a very smart thing to do. There's no such thing as a universal panacea. There's no such thing. However, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not like that. Natan Torah li Yisrael. And it is mamish, the elixir of life for his body as a whole. It doesn't matter what it is that you are being troubled by. Okay, getting back to Bruria's complaint about the kid who wasn't learning properly because he wasn't talking aloud and putting his heart into it. Omar Rebbe Ami, Maidichtiv ki na'im, it's really sweet. Ki tishmerem bevit necha. That when you keep them deep down in your guts, then yikunu yachtav al svatecha, then they're going to be all clearly set down on your lips. In other words, ematai divrei Torah ni'imim. When do we say, you know when it's sweet? Ki na'im? Bezman shetishmerem bevitnecha. And that's only if you feel like you really understand, you really have your things down pat. You're not constantly, wait a minute, did I get that right? And when do you get that? Only when you learn to articulate them properly and you have them misudar in your head and you say them out, and that way They become deep, deep inside of you. Rabbi Zeirak says, you can learn this out in terms of the sweetness from the pasuk of Simcha le'ish b'man efiv v'davar b'ito matov, our famous Rabbeinu Bacha's psicha. So a person has tremendous happiness when his mouth is capable of response. And when something's in its right time, couldn't be better. So ematai simcha le'ish, when does a person have real happiness in learning? When it's possible for him to have a ma'aneh b'piv, where he's able to respond, he's able to answer any question that's asked to him. Lashon acher, ematai simcha le'ish b'ma'aneh piv. And we can also see it like this. When does a person feel a real happiness in his responsiveness? Bizman shedavar b'ito matov. And that is when the things that he's learning have immediate applications. A person is learning the dinim of sukkahs right before sukkahs and so on. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Miyacha, ki karov elecha hadavar ma'od, b'pircha u'bilvavcha la'asoto. So when do you feel karov, when do you feel close, like someone who's in love? When is that? Bizman shebepircha u'bilvavcha la'asoto. When it's in your mouth, meaning you're saying it clearly and you're articulating and you're not keeping it inside, and then it remains bilvav chalasoto. So if it's bepicha, then bilvav chalasoto. Rava says, you can see that from this pasuk. Ta'avat libo natatalo, v'areshet zefatav bal manata sela. So when do we feel that a person is ta'avat libo natatalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him all that he desires, when you give him the brains to understand that he should never keep his mouth shut, he constantly has to be saying it and making it on his lips. Rava points out that there's a contradiction in the pasuk itself. First it says, ta'avat libo natatalo, meaning that even before they come out of his heart, it's deep in his heart. A person has a desire for something and he has not expressed it. And it says, natatalo, you gave it to him anyway. But then it goes on to say, vareshet svatav, that which he has asked of you, the tefillas that he has, balmanato, you didn't hold back. I mean, so first of all, there's a big difference between you give and you don't hold back, right? I mean, it's like a whole different attitude. And then there's a big difference between first responders to something that's in the heart of a person. And then after the person has expressed himself again and again, and then, okay, fine, we won't be monea. It's a completely different ambience to the first part of the pasuk and the last part of the pasuk. How do you explain that? Well, you explain it by different anagas. Basically, zacha, a person who is zocha, and he has that type of relationship and that type of mazel, that type of neshama. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him sometimes without his even asking. What do I need? A person feels so korov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if everything in his heart has already been given him. Lo zacha, then there's people who have it rough, you know, and he doesn't have that kind of mazel and that kind of connection, and he's meruchak. So then areshet svatav, if the person asks again and again, bal manata sela, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't keep it from him, but it's certainly not something that he's going to feel, wow, they're like really taking care of me. Tana Devei Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, you should know that the words Netzach, Sela, Va'ed, that is, all those three words have implications that are eternal. Ein lo hefsek olamit, wherever you find those words, it means that this anhaga is permanent. How do I know that? Because we always find these words in conjunction with la'olam, that it's forever. So netzach tichtiv ki lo le'olam ariv v'lo le'netzach ektzov. So we see there's a parallel between the le'olam and the netzach. Sela, kasher shamanu ken ra'inu b'ir Hashem tzvakot b'ir Eloheinu logim yechonanea ad olam sela. So olam, meaning forever, goes together with sela. And then we have va'ed, Hashem yimloch le'olam va'ed. So va'ed is also mechuber to olam. Okay, now there are things that we need to know about how it is that a person should be noheg in order to be zocha to Torah. It's one thing that you're able to do, the things you're able to do in terms of how you speak out Torah and how you think out Torah. But then there's general modalities of behavior that are suitable for the Torah to be nikne for an individual. So Omar Rabbi Elazar, let's go back to the opening pasuk. So my dichtiv, when we started talking about Livyat Chenem, Roshecha, Anakim Legargarotecha. So in what sense are the Divrei Torah like a necklace around your throat? So look, if a person makes himself, that he acts the way that a necklace acts around his own throat. A necklace is not a choker. A necklace is rough ala tzavar, it's loose. It's loose around your neck, and it's hanging down on your chest. Most of the time, people don't notice it because your chin is down, your shirt's on. So it's near of inondir. It's invisible, but it's not something that you're showing off. So if the person acts like that, and he too is, he keeps himself most of the time to himself, and he doesn't show off, so then tamudo mitkayem biyado. But if this is a guy who's always got something to do, and he's always out on the street and doing things, ain't tamudo mitkayem biyado. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, another posik that implies this, is l'chayav ka'arugat ha'bosam. So this person's cheeks are like rows of spices in a garden. So that means, imesima damatzmo ka'arugazu. And arugaz, like we had the dinim of arugaz, an actual garden bed that you set up and you put the plants in it. So if a person treats himself like an aruga, arugas, people walk all over him, they're constantly planting, watering, and so on and so forth. And he uses, allows people to use him in that way. Uchabosamze, shakomit basmimba. And he's like a spice. That means that he teaches other people and allows them insights, and he has patience for them. So then tamudomit kayim biyado, vimlav ein tamudomit kayim. V'omar Rabbi Elazar. If you take a look also, the Lashon of Lichayav, interesting. I mean, it's his cheeks, but it has a relationship to Luchot, right? The Luchot are like Lichayav. So Luchot ha-Even. We call something, the Luchos ha-Brit are Luchot ha-Even. Im Adam Esim Atzmo et Lichayav ke-Even zu. So a person treats his cheeks as if they were made out of stone, meaning they don't get worn out. You know, you can walk over stone, and get stay there for thousands of years. So this person, he goes over his learning again, goes over his learning yet again. If somebody has a question, he explains the question a million times. He'll say over the same daf, each time with the same joy and the same excitement and being mavasim people with people. Then if his cheeks never wear out, tamudomit kayem biyado. But if you just say, oh, come on, I can't take it anymore. Im lav, ein tamudomit kayem biyado. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, my dechtiv charut al haluchot. What this means is that those original luchot habrit were deeply engraved, and that would imply that if it wouldn't have been for the shvirat haluchot, then nothing would ever have been forgotten. So, emolein lo nishtabru luchot harishonim, lo nishtakha Torah miYisrael, because the Torah would have been engraved deep upon them. So that's the al haluchot. You can't erase engraving. You know, if you just write it, no. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says it means a lashon. Of cheirut. And that would mean that if the luchot hadn't been broken, ein kol uma v'lashon shaletet by him, there would have been no power of any nation to have any kind of rule over Yisrael. Because it says charut, al tikre charut, ela cheirut. Omer of Matna, note who the one who's saying this mimer is, the Rebbe of Matana. Why does it say omi midbar matana? So what is the meaning of the pasuk that if it, from the midbar they travel to matana? That means, imesim adam al atzmo ki midbar zeh, shakol dashim bo. Person makes himself like a midbar. He allows people to walk all over him, and to ask him things they really shouldn't be, and whatever. But he responds, and so, Talmudo mitkayem biyado. But im lav, ein Talmudo mitkayem biyado. If he start being makbid on himself, then he will not get the Torah as a gift. Now, we know from the story in the Dorim that Rav Abreder of Yosef Bar Chama once said something that it was mezalzel. Rav Yosef felt that it was mezalzel in him. And he was a Talmud of Rav Yosef. This is Rav we're referring to, but in this context, he's a kid learning by Rav Yosef. So Rava Breda Rav Yosef Bar Chama Avali Milsul Rav Yosef Bar. Rav Yosef had some kind of bad feelings about the way that Rava had acted. Anyway, comes Erev Yom Kippur. Rava says, I better go and I'll make him realize I didn't mean it and so on. I'll be mafayas him. He should be meichel me. So he comes in to Rav Yosef's house. And also Ashkech Elishama de Karmazik Le Kassas. He finds that the butler is pouring, mixing wine for Rav Yosef. Now, Rava wanted to go about this very slowly because he was afraid that Rav Yosef was so mad at him. Rav Yosef was blind, so at least he wasn't going to be discovered as soon as he walked in, right? But he didn't want to, like, just break in. So what he did was he told the butler, give it to me to mix. Now, you'll recall, we had this in numerous places, that Rava had his own special way of mixing wine, and he held that we need a 3-to-1 mix with water and so on. So he said, give it to me. Okay, so the butler gives it to him. Rava mixes it the way he did. And then serves it, the butler serves it to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef tastes the wine, and he said, this wine? This doesn't taste the way you normally make. This tastes like Rava Bereda Rav Yosef Bar Chama's mix over here. What's going on around here? So he said to him, yep, it's me. Sorry, but it's me. Okay, so he gradually figured out on his own that Rava is there. So Rav Yosef was angry. He says, okay, listen here. I don't want you to sit your rear end down until you explain this pasuk, because he wanted to get it into him the way that he's got to learn how to act. My dechsivu mi midbar matana, umi matana nachliel, umi nachliel bamot, umi bamot agai. Tell me what this means. What is the Torah giving us over like this particular Seder Hadvar? So Rava said, I know what you're saying. It means that if a person makes himself like a midbar, that everybody steps over him and he's not a balgaiva, then the Torah is given to him as a matana. Once the Torah is given him as a matana, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it his as a nachala. That's a permanent thing. Umimatana nachliel, so nechalo el. And then once it becomes his nachala, then he's ola legidula, because it says uminachliel. Once you become a nachliel, then you go rise up to the heights. So minachliel bamot, you get all the way up there. The problem is, imegislibo, if then he gets stuck up and he, oh, wow, I'm on the top of the world. So then he goes down all the way down. Then it says, imebamot agai, to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpilo, teaches him a lesson to turn him into a nobody. And then, im choserbo, if he does teshuva and he realizes that I've been acting like a balgaiva and he changes, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts him all the way back up again. Shenema kol gei yinasei. So you see that when a person can be in a matzav in which he's down in the depths, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can raise him all the way back up. Omer Ravuna Maidichtiv, Chayatcha Yashvuva Tachin Betovatcha La'ani Elohim. Strange. Chayatcha, your animals, your flock, I guess, right? We would say about the sheep. And they settled there, and you prepared everything for the poor. So that means we're looking at Klal Yisrael as if they are chayatcha. So that means, im adam yishim atzmo kechayazo, shedoreset veochelet. The person makes himself like a wild animal. That means, as soon as the animal kills, it eats. It doesn't sit and let things get rotten or put them in the fridge so they don't taste fresh anymore. Chaya likes his meat when it's really fresh. When a person learns a sugya and it's fresh in his head, that's when you sit there and eat it. And to eat it, you go over it again and again, and you get it straight, and you ask your questions on it, and you work it out. But if you let it, okay, all right, forget it today, you know, we'll put it in the fridge, we'll worry about it later. So then it's not going to be stuck by him. The Ikari Amri, others say, if you act like a chaya, shemisarachat v'ochelet, you eat things that are just, that they stink, meaning you let yourself be completely abused and don't look into your needs and you just work on your learning, and even though you have to be embarrass yourself and ask questions that people make fun of you for, doesn't matter. Then Talmudo mitkayem biyado, so then you're going to remember what you're learning. But imlav ein Talmudo mitkayem biyado, but if not, You're going to sit there and keep your mouth shut when it should be open? That's bad news. And then you're not going to be able to remember what it is that you learn. The imoseken, if the person actually acts this way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oselo su'uda ba'atzmo, tachin b'tovatcha la'ani Elohim. That means you're so turned on by this guy that you will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make him a special su'uda, just for him. One lashes, just for him, or on your own. What's going on over there by the Goldsteins? We need to have complete concentration. That's what the whole sugya is talking about.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Looking at my art scroll, I have to peer over it.
Art scrolls? Okay. Imlav ain't amirim b'skayim b'yado, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him his own very special meal. Shenema tachim b'tov atchala ni Elohim. Om Reb Chiya Bar Ava, Om Reb Yochanan, may dichtiv notzer te'ena yochal pirya. Interesting. Somebody who takes good care of his fig tree, he's the guy that's going to be eating the fruit. So why are we comparing the inyanim of Torah to like a fig tree? To tell me, what's unique about a fig tree is that it doesn't have one particular moment at which this is the week in which all of its fruit become ripe. And now you have to take the fruit. The reason we call the summer is because it's the entire kayetz. Kayetz means the time of the fig tree harvest. So the entire harvest, the entire period of the summer, every single day there's more figs. You took off the figs the day before, you come back the next day, and you look around and suddenly you find, oh my gosh, didn't we see that yesterday? Wasn't there. So the same thing is true about Divrei Torah. Every single time you go back to them, you think you've already exhausted the sugya. You suddenly feel that it's, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. I know all of us have had that kind of experience. It's amazing. So you could see something a million times, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it's like a totally different meaning. Why does the Torah compare specifically to an ayala? It's a kind of a hint. And it's a lover hint, which is weird. Yalat chen, full of so much charm. So what does that have to do with Torah? Lo manim shulu divrei Torah la ayelet. So there's something very special about an ayelet. Ma ayala rachmatzar. An ayelet has a very tight vagina. And because of that, chaviva bo ala kol sha'a v'sha'a. Every single time is like the first time. So av divrei Torah chavivina lom dehem. Divrei Torah to people who really relate to Torah the way that Torah is meant to be related to, like a beautiful woman. We had the question yesterday about whether that live wire was the live wire mesechet or was a live wire woman. The same thing is true over here. The Torah, it doesn't matter whether you're referring to Torah. You're still relating to Torah as that live wire. So the same way that an ayala always is as if she's a virgin. So after Divrei Torah, Chavivin Alomdeyem Kol Sha'a V'Sha'a K'Sha'a Rishona. It's like we say in English, it's like the first time. Every single time you learn a sugya, it's like the first time, which is absolutely amazing that it should have that type of excitement and that type of connection that you never get domesticated when it comes to Torah. V'ya'alat chen, full of such charm. What does that mean? Shema'alat chen Alomdeha, that people that learn Torah, it covers them with chen. Dadea yiravucha b'chol et. The nipples, the breasts of the Torah. Why do we compare Torah to breasts? Because it's the same idea. You'll note that a baby can sit there just like sucking on a breast, not really drinking very much, but kozman sha'tinok memashmesh bo motzei bo chalav. You know, just want to make sure that there's still that milk there that's for me, you know, gets a little bit of taste of milk. Same thing is true about Divrei Torah. Person learned the sugya, knows the sugya, but I just need to taste that taste again. So after Divrei Torah, kol zman she'adam hogeh behem, motzei behem tam. It's always full of flavor. Be'avata tishgeh tamid, continues the pasuk. The love of Torah should be with you to such an extent that it drives you mad. This is the Rambam, the base of the Rambam, in Perek Yud of Hilchos Teshuva. Ad she'yishgeh ba'tamid. You have to be driven mad by her. And he actually brings the case of a person who's crazy over this girl. And that's exactly what he's talking about over here. So that's the Yalat Chen. So Be'avatish Getamid, you should go wild over her. And that is like people that are so involved in their learning that nothing else matters to them. Okay, go on, Reb Elazar ben Pedat. You know, they say about Reb Elazar ben Pedat, he would be sitting and learning Torah in the Shuk Tachton Shel Tzipori, and meanwhile, he left his backpack with his iPad and his coat and everything. He left it back in the Shuk HaElyon, where he'd been shopping for a few minutes. He comes down, and now he's learning. He couldn't care less, you know. So, Adino Mutal B'Shuk HaElyon Shel Tzipori. And Amr Yitzchak ben Elazar, once somebody wanted to steal it. Oh, wow, look at this. Looks like a nice backpack over here. He goes to pick it up, and there's this snake that rears up on him and watches over Reb Elazar ben Pedat's backpack while he's sitting and learning downstairs. Tanave Revanan, Maidichtiv. It's a fascinating pasuk in the Shira of Devorah. So it's Rochvei Atonot Tzichorot, riders of white donkeys, Yoshvei Almidin, people who are sitting in the courts or in judgment, Holchei Alderech, those who are on the road, Sichu, speak up, man. So what is this referring to? So Rochvei Atonot, these refer to Talmidei Chachomim that travel all over the place to be able to learn additional words of Torah. They're Malchim Meir Leir Umibidina Lebidina Lilmot Torah. Tzichorot is a lotion of shining, white, like the afternoon. Tzichorot kitzahorayim. So they want to make things so clear and so shining to themselves that they work on it until it's as clear as day. Yoshvei al midin, shedanin din emet la'amito. But when they sit in judgment, they don't stop until they've gotten to the absolute core of exactly what everybody is saying, and to make sure that there's nothing that is being misrepresented or phony, but by the Edim and not by the Baladinim and so on. The whole Che. So these are people who are basically learning to walk. These are Bali Mikra. These are people that have gotten Tanakh straight. Now they're on the Derech. If they're on the Derech, then they're already Bali Mishnah, because the Mishnah teaches you the structure of things, not simply that you're walking, but you now are walking on a road. You understand it's beginning to make sense. It's going somewhere. Sichu, speak up. This refers to people who are already Baalei Gemara. And we know that even the Sicha of Chol of Talmidei Chachamim, every word is to Inon Limud. Every word is full of wisdom, and every reference is a reference to something out of the Torah, even when they're just kidding around. Omrib Shizbi, Mishum Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Mai dechtiv lo yacharoch remiyat seido. So there's two ways of reading that pasuk. I think the way to read it is, it's a very strange pasuk. I mean, it means literally that the person who catches things, traps things, he's not going to get to roast what it is that he traps if he uses falseness or deceit to get it. So what we do is lo yacharoch, we put together the word yichyeh and yarich yamim, yachroch. Lo yichyeh v'lo yarich yamim, the tzayad haramai. So what is a tzayad haramai? Tzayad haramai is like what a lot of people do. And what they do is they pretend to be a Talmud Chacham. How do they do that? They're phonies. What they do is, like you cram for an exam, you know, in school. So you know perfectly well that 2 weeks after you crammed, you won't remember one word of it. Nothing. It goes in one ear and out the other. But during that 2 weeks, man, they can ask you anything. Like, you're really holding it in this. So this guy, like, he, you know, he's going to be giving chabura and the yeshiva or whatever. So he crams, you know. Now he's like this big bucky and everything you ask him, and he's got this shot, and yeah, and the Ritva says this, and the Rashba says this. I mean, wow, this guy's really brilliant. Now, Lamaisa, 2 weeks later, he's not going to remember one word of what he told you. He'll probably know less than you. So a guy like that is not going to have a long, happy life. No, no, no. Rav Sheshet says, no, I don't read it like that. I read it as a question. You don't think that the Tzayad HaRamai Yacharoch. Believe me. Now, Ramai can mean two different things. Ramai can mean a phony, which is the first approach of Rav Shizbi, but Ramai can also mean he's very clever, very cunning in what he does. It was like the Nachash Haya Arum, right? It's the same idea. So the guy who's really cunning about it, he's going to get a chance to roast everything that he caught. So what does that mean? That's somebody that once he learns something, he learns it again and again and again, and he gets to roast it because he really keeps the catch. I'll explain to you what the point is. Kesar of Dimi said, you know what it's like? You can imagine a case of a tsayad. This guy is a trapper of birds. Now, you're a trapper of birds. The only way you're going to hold on to the birds you already trapped is you break the wings of the birds that you already trapped, and that way you can't fly away. But otherwise, by the time you're reaching out to catch the other bird, the first bird sees a chance and flies away. And that's exactly what happens to learning. You've got to break the wings of the sugya, meaning you've got to make it part of it. It's not going to get away from you. Then you can bring another bird. But if you turn away from one sugya, okay, whew, finish with that. Let's move on to this. So then by the time you finish the this, the that is gone. And that would be exactly the same way that you won't get anything to roast in the end. But the Sayana Ramai, the guy who's very cunning about it, he makes sure that he gets to eat everything that he's caught. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Sechora, Omar Ravuna. My dichtiv hon mehevel yimat. If you get very rich by just shtuyot, in the end, there's not going to be anything left. V'koveitz al yad yarbeh. Somebody who does things slowly, gradually builds up, he, in the end, is going to have a lot of money in the bank. So all of these guys are going around trying to make $1 billion overnight. They do, but it doesn't last very long. Something always happens. The company goes bankrupt. They're thrown out. They get a new CEO, whatever it is. And then they're left with nothing, basically. Nothing that's their own. And the person who, like, worked on each thing and built himself up gradually, that person can retain it. So what does that mean in terms of Torah? It means, a person, he wants to do everything at once, right? So he's gonna like, get it all together all at one time. In the end, he's got too much to handle. That's the point. He's doing a lot of things, but he can't really handle them. And in the end, he's going to lose it all. So he's going to forget all the things that he learned. If he's got the patience to actually be Kovetz Al-Yad, he learns this sugya, I know this. He knows this Mishnah clearly, now I'll move on to the next Mishnah. So then in the end, it's amazing, in no time at all, he ends up knowing tons. Omar Rava says, this is a very sad thing, you know, because everybody knows this is true and they can't get themselves to do it. It's like, yeah, they rap on an amulet. Everybody knows this is true. Everybody like feels, no, I'm sure I can handle a little bit more, and they keep piling it on and piling it on. Everybody's got this problem. And they're over on it anyway. V'avri Allah. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, not me, baby, not me. I made up my mind. This is the way I'm going to do it, and it worked, I can tell you. I did it. Ana avdei v'kayim b'yadayim. Because of that, everything that I learned is clear to me. So take my word for it. This is the way you should do it. Tana Rabbanan, you want to talk about how many times you have to review a sugya? So let me tell you something. And this is amazing because in Erevin, even though, again, the Gemara always does this multi-leveled structuring, right? So on the surface, all we're doing over here is further proving how many times you have to chazer. Okay, that's all very nice. And on the deeper level, we're touching the very roots of the way that the Torah Shebaal Peh was given over to Yisroel by Moshe Rabbeinu, to Aaron HaKohen, to the children of Aaron, to the Sanhedrin, and so on. And of course, as we've seen, Erevin is that liminal space, which is exactly the Pischa Shel Ulam, the Pischa Shel Eichal. It's the Pesach, it's the place in which we have this transition between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and all of the relationships that we have. Therefore, this is precisely where it is that we would expect to find this sugya. Ketzad Seder Mishnah. How was it that Moshe Rabbeinu originally gave over the learning of the Torah Shebaal Peh to Yisrael? First, Moshe sat down and he had his chavrusa. It was the best chavrusa ever. He learned it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, okay, there's a medrash that also says he himself learned it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu four times, which we don't bring here for some reason. Then, when he comes into the oil over there, Nichnas Aaron. So Aaron comes in, sits down. Veshonelo Moshe Pirko. Moshe tells him over what the perek today is. Nistalek Aaron. Aaron gets up and he sits to Moshe Rabbeinu's left because there's only one person. You have to have the Rebbe on the right. And then his children come in, and Elazar v'Tamar, and they sit down in front of Moshe. Moshe teaches them while Aaron is sitting at his left. Nistalku Banav, then his children get up, And Elazar sits to Moshe Rabbeinu's right, is the older, and Itamar sits down to the left of Aaron. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The moment that Elazar and Itamar came in, Aaron got up, and we're about to sit down, Aaron got up and he sat down to the right of Moshe, because it would mean that there's going to be two people that are sitting there, and because of that, the person who is the gadol is to the right of the Rebbe, and the person who is less sits to the left. So it doesn't make sense that Aaron remained to the left when his children are going to be sitting down right and left. Nichlasu zekanim. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Seder Advar. So then the zekanim, they sat down, and Moshe Rabbeinu teaches them. And then the zekanim, they all get up, and then everybody comes in who wants to learn, and Moshe Rabbeinu repeats it yet again. So that would mean that at this point, what do we've got? We've got Aaron, who was chayzer. Now he learned it four times. Elazar and Itamar learned it three times. The zekanim learned it two times, and so far everybody else has it only once. So then Moshe Rabbeinu left, and then Aaron becomes the rebbe. So now Aaron teaches everyone that's there, and then Aaron leaves, and now his children become the rebbes, and they teach to everyone. Then they leave, and then the zekanim go around and teaching everybody to make sure that everybody knows, which means now the minimal book, everybody's got four times that they learned. Mikan amar Rabbi Eliezer, that before you go in, a person has to be, first time he teaches them, chayav adam lishnot detamido arba'a pa'amim, you absolutely have to teach four times, and that you can't say, okay, listen, I'll give you the first shot, and then you get it from somebody else. The Kal Vachomer. I mean, this is the minimal that's called learning, is four times. Because if Aaron, who was able to learn directly from Moshe, and imagine the power of Moshe's learning and his clarity, because his chavrusa was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if Aaron learns from Moshe, who had learned from HaGvura, Moshe mipi HaGvura kach, he still needed to hear it four times from Moshe before it really penetrated properly. So imagine just a regular human being who's learning from just a regular human being, a hediot, pipi hediot, alachat kamada kamada, the minimum that you're going to need is four times. Rabbi Akiva omer minayin shechayav adam lishnot letalmido ad shielam denu, he's got, what do you mean four times? He's got to teach it until, well, how many times it takes. It depends on the Talmud, because it says, kitvu lachem et hashira hazot, v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyem. So Lamdas B'nai Yisrael means don't just tell them over the Shira. You've got to make sure that you've taught them the Shira. Not only then, the Shira, of course, as we know, is Kol HaTorah Kula. U'minayin at shetehes sidura b'fia. It has to be something that is clear and set up properly. Shenama sima b'fiam. U'minayin shechayav laharot lo panim. You have to make him feel close to the words that you're teaching him. You can't just say, okay, listen, this is the halacha, repeat after me, and now you know the halacha. Because it says, Eila mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. And tasim lifneihem, we learn out, means that it has to be something that is ready to eat, which means you have to explain everything. You can't just tell them halacha like a shulchan aruch that isn't muchan leechol. It has to be a shulchan aruch that is muchan leechol. Veligmru kulam imosha. So I understand, why can't like everybody just sit down and learn four times? I mean, why do we do it this way, right? That we first teach Aaron, and then his children get it three times from Moshe, and they make up for it by hearing it from Aaron, and each one ends up getting it, but why not hear it directly from Moshe? No, the point over here is, note that Moshe Rabbeinu gets out of the way, and then Aaron teaches. Aaron gets out of the way, and then the kids teach, right? What is the point of getting out of the way? The point of getting out of the way is to give covet and to show everyone, Aaron can teach you. You don't need me to be there listening in. And Elazar and Itamar, they can teach you. The Zekanim can teach you. Nobody's got to be, there doesn't have to be the principal listening in and making sure that he's doing the job. These are people that you need to learn. This is a covet to Aaron. It's a covet to Banav. It's a covet to Zekanim. Okay, So, why don't we have it nail Aaron, v'nigmar mi Moshe? Okay, well, why doesn't Aaron just go in, learn it four times from Moshe? Then let his kids come in and learn it four times from him. and then let the Zakenim come in and learn it four times from Elazar and Itamar. And then let everybody come in and learn from the Zakenim four times. Why does, like, the way that we do it exposes everyone to Moshe once and then minimum times and so on and so forth. Yeah, but that's because there's something that is unique. We need to expose them to Moshe. Because Kiman de Moshe, Mipi Agvura Gamar, Mistaya Milta. The presence of Moshe itself in teaching changes everything. You'll have a much greater chance of the Torah being Nichnas if you're learning it from Moshe. Because of that, we set it up in such a way that Moshe would teach everyone once. Omar Mar, I just want to understand. Rabbi Yehuda says that Aaron would get up and move to the right. And isn't that the din? I mean, you're supposed to do that, right? So, I mean, how do we, the Tanakhama says that, no, actually, he didn't move to the right. So, Kamana Sohadatanya, look at this Braita and tell me who it's going to. Here it says, if three people are walking down the street, the proper Derech Eretz is that the Rav is in the middle, the Godol of the Talmidim is on his right, and the lower level Talmid is on his left. So does that mean that only Rabbi Yehuda holds to this Braita? Because Rabbi Yehuda said that then afterwards Aaron should have moved over to the right when his sons come in. Apparently what, the Tanakhama disagrees with this fundamental Derech Eretz? Is it Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan? No, of course not, says the Gemara. It could go like the Rabbanan too. The only thing over here is that since the first time that Aaron got up and moved over, there was nobody else that was sitting to the other side of Moshe. So he had to be on, in this case, he had to be on the right of Moshe so that Moshe would be on the right. So now if you're going to say, okay, so now the Elazar and Itamar are coming to sit down, what are we going to do? Make Aaron get up and move his chair? And that's already something else. So that's a kovatim. He doesn't have to move. And now he could stay where he is. Now, there was this beautiful story about Rabbi Preda. Amazing story. He had a Talmud. And that Talmud was not too bright. And it took him a very long time to get something straight. And he never understood it properly unless Rav Preda repeated it 400 times. So every day he would say over the daf 400 times to this Talmud. Anyway, one day they came and they told Rav Preda that there's a bris that's going to be at 12:30. He should make sure he's there at the bris. All right, fine. He says, okay, thank you. And then he sits down and he teaches his Talmud the daf 400 times. And he sees the guy doesn't understand anything. Velo gomar, he didn't catch on. So Rabbi Preda asks him, I understand, what's different about today? Every day you manage to learn it after 400 times. I mean, it's not worse than any other day, is it? Oh, he says the Talmud, when I heard them come in and tell you the bris is going to be later, I couldn't concentrate. I was convinced that any minute you're going to get up and you're going to say, I didn't hear anything. Nothing went in. So Me'ahi Shaitet Armelei Lamar, that you need to go to the bris milo of Yerika Mil to the mitzvah, I just couldn't concentrate. Aschoy Ledate. Because every minute I was thinking, oh my God, he's going to be leaving, and I don't have a chance to ask him anything, and I don't understand what's going on. Forget it. Okay. So Omar Lay, okay, Rupreda said to him. Now listen here. That's outrageous. You have to sit down right now and concentrate. Nothing is going to get in the way. You understand? He teaches it to him another 400 times. I was just like, well, okay. So he teaches it again another 400 times. That's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was floored. So Baskol comes out and says, okay, what do you want? We're giving you a choice. We can give you 400 extra years of life, if you want that. Or we can use the schus of what you just did to be mezaka the entire world, including yourself, of course, of this door goes straight to Elam Haba. So what do you want? So he says, I'm going to choose that the whole world should go to Elam Haba. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best thing, give the kid both. Beautiful. So Tnulo Zu. Zu Vizu. So Tosfos asks a wonderful kasha. Because the Gemara elsewhere asks, it says that they asked Rabbi Preda, Bema Harachta Yamim, how come you are so old? At this point, he was not so old. He was only 120. So they asked him, Bema Harachta Yamim, and he's saying over the things that he did, that he was zocha to a long life, says Tosfos. Why did he say, what do you mean? He knows why he was Baruch Yamim. No, says Tosfos. Rabbi Preda didn't hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, give him both. he thought that he was choosing that one. And so he's wondering, why indeed am I living so long? And only afterwards, when he was already 320, did he realize, oh my gosh, you know, they must have given me both. Omer of Chizda, Ein Torah Niknet Ela B'Simanim. You've got to use yourself some type, whatever works for you. But you've got to use mnemonics, because otherwise it's just going to get out of control. Shenema Sima B'Fiyam. That was one of the things we learned about this in Mishpatim and about the nature of Torah and the Shira. It has to be Sima B'Fiyam. That, read that, not Sima B'Fiyam, but it's like Sima itself is a simon to Simanim. Simana B'Fiyam. Rav Tachlifa Mimarava, so he was from Eretz Yisrael, he heard Rav Chisda, and he went and said this over to Rabbi Abo. So Rabbi Abo said, that's where you learn it from. We learn it from a much clearer pasuk. What do you have to learn? Sima to Simanim. It says in the pasuk, Hatzivi lach tziyunim, it says beferish in the pasuk, you should make yourselves the signpost, the tzion is a signpost. Similach tamrurim. Tamrurim became the modern Hebrew word for road signs. Each road sign is a tamrur with a special shape and a special sign. Those are called tamrurim. And that shitili bech lamisila. Put your heart on the road by using these proper signs for the road, which is unbelievable. I mean, when you see a tamrur, to know that you're referring to Yirmiyahu's misila. That's what it means to be on a road, is to have each one of those signs is a simon of another perek and a simon of another daf and a sugya and so on. It's amazing. That's the Mesila. That's where I learned it from. Wait, how do you know that the word sion means that it's the equivalent of a simon exactly, that we use the word that way? No, because it says beferish in the whole story of Yecheskel with the Milchemes Gog u'Magog. So it says over there, v'ra'a etzem adam uvanatzo tzion. That they'll put a sign every place where there were so many skeletal remains of all these goyim that had been killed in the war when they were trying to attack Klal Yisrael after Bias HaMashiach, that it took them years to be able to clear up everything. So they would put a little bit of a sign or maybe, you know, a chip, and then they would be able to GPS it and get every single bone out of the way so the kohanim wouldn't become tameh. Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's perfect. The way that you can learn about simanim is it says, Emor la chokhma achotiat. You should be saying to the Torah, you are my sister. Umuda lebinat tikra. Muda, remember, is the lashon that Naomi says to Ruth when she says, this guy that you say you think you just bumped into, he is modatenu. Modatenu means he's our relative and he cares about us and so on. That's muda from the lashon of dad. Vayeda adam eschava. Make the Torah a muda. So that means asei modaim l'Torah, make something that constantly reminds you of how familiar you are, how close you are. That's kirva. That's the reason that you should make simanim. Rava says, no, muda over there can also be read as mo'ed. Asei mo'adim l'Torah, make sure that there are sidorim that you have that are kavua, and that way the chavrusa is going to come, and it's mechayev you, and that way you'll be learning. That's a different thing, to be making mo'adim. That's how I learn it. V'hainu di'omar avudimi barchama bardosa. Mai dichtiv lo bashamayimi. V'lo mi'ever layami. I say, this is a wonderful, wonderful insight. I say, you don't need any psukim. All of these psukim are ridiculous. Because, I mean, what the psukim are focusing on is to make a signpost, to make it moda, to be sima b'fiyam. Look, there's one general thing that it's time for you to take seriously, and therefore you figure it out yourself, okay? I don't need teaching to tell me to make simanim. You do whatever the heck works. Because, look, it says in the pasuk, lo bashamayim hi, velo me'ever layam hi. What does that imply? Telling you lo bashamayim hi. Telling you lo bashamayim hi is, you're talking about moda? You're talking about karov? Ki karov elecha davar ma'od? So what if it would be in the shamayim? What I'm implying to you is, look, you need to do whatever you need to do. You understand? If it's on the moon, then you're going to have to learn to make moonshots to be able to get there, because there's no way you're going to live without Torah. So you're lucky. Consider yourself lucky. Thank God I don't have to wait to get to the moon. Lo me'ever layami. And if it was ever layam, what do you think you'd have to do? You'd have to spend the next 30 years figuring out how to get me'ever layam. Consider yourself blessed, okay? Ki karov elecha davar ma'od. So therefore, you do what you got to do. I don't understand. Why are we looking for this? You'd have to cross the yam for it. So I have to teach you, make simonim. Does it work? Then do it, darn it. What's wrong with you? So that's basically, you're mechuyev to do anything, okay? And you cannot say, oh, gee, I didn't have to go that far. No? You think you have to go to the moon? Okay. So you figure it out for yourself. It's like a great limud, right? Okay. Rava Amar lo bashamayim. This means lo timatze b'mishig magbiya da'ato ala kashamayim. You're not going to find Torah in somebody who, okay, there's the Maharsha has an interesting approach over here, which is not, I don't think the way that most of the Mefarshim take the sugya. He takes the sugya as meaning the assumptions that you make about your mind's capabilities. The pashtus of the sugya is that magbia da'ato is if somebody has gaiva in him, he is not going to have Torah. And as obviously is the essence of Torah, is that it demands from you a complete objectivity to be able to see reality as it is. And the whole meaning of gaiva is the absurdity of seeing things through the way that you want to see them, and therefore clouding everything. And the issue over here, the pashtus is the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu has to be onav mikol odam, and only that way is it possible for him to be giving a Torah. That's the meaning of lo b'shamayim. So you won't find Torah in the skies, meaning a guy who's up there and thinks he's like the greatest. I'm the greatest. So there you won't find it. The Maharsha understands it. Magbia dato aleha means that the person believes that his mind's capabilities are so fantastic that he's able to, like, he can handle it. I don't need a Rebbe. I don't need to see the way other people understood it. I'll just take it the way I want to take it. That is also a modern anoga. Let's write our own medrash, you know, and have the latest version of Black Lives Matter as seen through the Torah and so on and so forth. And that's also a concept of magbia dato aleha. And then when it says kayam ever layam, lo timatze b'mishim marchiv da'ato alea kayam. This is the pashtus again, is that if you are so interested in leading a life in which you get all of your needs taken care of, and your marchiv, that's harchov asadas, it's like anything that you want, you have, you know. So I can't really learn right now because, you know, I'm busy getting the better food and so on. Then you're not going to be able to learn. Again, the Maharsha's approach is your mind is so broad that, again, you're able to understand Torah. And I understand it. Okay, I don't need to go back and chazer and ask kashas. I already understood it. I'm very bright. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, lo b'shamayim he means lo timatze begasei haruach, which is the reason the Maharsha wants to give the other shot there, because otherwise he seems to be repeating it, but he may be repeating it because of the second part. Velo me'ever layami means lo timatze lo b'sacharanim velo b'tagarim, people that are busy taking their jet flights. This is the jet set. So lo me'ever layami means you won't find it in jet setters, the people that are always flying across the ocean in order to make big deals. And you need to find it in people who are willing to be yoshev, be yeshiva. And again, they don't have to show themselves off. You won't find them with tagarim. Tagarim, Rashi says, doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing business, but it means you shouldn't be like spending your whole time doing public relations and so on. He compares it to the sugya earlier, at least if you take a look at the Hagos Bram Ransberg, he compares it to the sugya and before in the nira ve'eno nira. What you do tremendously bitznius, and okay, whatever has to be exposed, you expose. I mean, obviously, you have to open up the store, but that doesn't mean that you're running around and getting people to come in and so on. Things come your way, and things work out.